everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order. Kobe and Shaq are beefing. A hot-headed tennis player is making waves for bad behavior. Jerry Jones is talking holdouts. And the Dolphins are in yet another rebuild. I guess it's Groundhog Day at Around the Horn. So let's see which of these panelists can tunnel his way to victory. We've got the best chompers. Let's go. Ooh, that's good, Izzy. That's good.
What is good?
It harkens me back to the days when we used to do animals before the show all the time.
Woody the Woodchuck, maybe? Maybe?
Yeah, you go with that, okay?
Moving on. Dolphins first-year head coach Brian Flores recently met with disgruntled superstar pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney, who's in the midst of a holdout with the Texans. While he pursues Clowney, Flores continues to cut veterans as the team proves they are firmly in rebuild mode. So, Izzy, does it make sense for the rebuilding Dolphins to trade for Clowney?
Well, it's interesting. There was a column in the Miami Herald that quoted Stephen Ross with some old quotes, basically saying the way we did it in the past is we had this idea that we had a lot of good young players and they just needed to be supplemented by the occasional free agent and draft picks. Well, they didn't succeed, and so now they're trying to do that all over again without spending the big money. However, Jadeveon Clowney is one of those players, one of those cornerstones with quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, and cornerback that you can just go ahead and add and call that part of your rebuild. And if you look at the Miami Dolphins, if they have faith, then maybe Josh Rosen could be good. If Jadeveon Clowney comes in and is a good edge rusher, they have a great cornerback already, then maybe they have all the cornerstones for a quality team in the next year or two. NFL rebuilds happen in a snap.
They can happen in a snap, yes, but Isola, it seems like Clowney's a win-now player. Do you add that to a rebuilding team?
I think you're right, but he's also 26 years old, and I think Brian Flores is looking to put his stamp on this team, wanting impactful players and also trying to build a team that he wants it. That's why no one is safe. I like what he's doing, and let's remember, he comes from New England. He learned at the feet of Bill Belichick. You win with defense. Yes, you need the quarterback, but I like the fact that they're going after Clowney. They should definitely do it.
He's from the Belichick tree, but that hasn't worked out very well before, so I don't know if it's a plus.
It'll work out eventually.
Sedano, your thoughts?
I don't think rebuilding and adding a player, a quality player, a Pro Bowl type player are mutually exclusive. As Izzy pointed out, you need to have a core. Those core positions are quarterback, corner, pass rusher, and left tackle. The Dolphins have a corner in Xavier Howard. They've got a left tackle in Laremy Tunsil. And now they want to add Clowney. They'll figure out if Rosen's good. And if not, you know what? They can draft a quarterback this year or the following year. They've got time to make this happen.
Tunsil, of course, the guy that the Texans would love, but it doesn't sound like Miami's willing to give him up. What do you like this trade? Even as the Miami Dolphins are in a rebuild?
Well, Sarah, it depends on what trade you're talking about. If they give up Tunsil, no, I don't like that trade. You need a left tackle to protect the quarterback you just brought in. So you don't want to give up the left tackle. If they want a couple of future draft choices or they want a package that includes Kenny Still, for instance, who wants out of there and they want him out of there, yes, it makes sense. But you don't want a Clowney Carr situation by bringing him in. But the issue is that what you've had is he's visited with them. So at least he's comfortable. They're comfortable with him based on those talks. So it makes sense from that standpoint. But Forbes got to prove it. They got to prove themselves down there, whether they really are going to just go into full tank mode or they really are trying to just do something under Josh.
Kind of a clowny answer, bro, but I'm still going to give you points for it because I liked it. Let's spin to the Texans side of things, because do they want draft picks if they're trying to win now and if they've got a wide open division now? Izzy, what do you make of the Texans side of things?
Bill O'Brien, by the way, another Belichick disciple, and we'll see how good it goes for him in Houston. Look, it's kind of a mess over there. They had Jadeveon Clowney fire his agent, and now the only reason he took a meeting with the Dolphins, Woody, because it's the only team that the Texans allowed him to, he'd rather be a Seahawk or rather be a Philadelphia Eagle. And yes, the Texans need some help at left tackle, but at this point, they've just got to get rid of Clowney and get something in return. They don't even have a GM. O'Brien is doing all of these things. So if they can get a running back in Kenyon Drake and maybe a Kenny Stills to thrown in there and a later round pick, then just do something. You got to get Clowney out of it.
Isola, do they have to make a move?
I think that they should. And, Izzy mentioned it's kind of a mess over there. Let's remember, Andrew Luck is now out of the division. It opens things up. Houston could make that big jump. You got to get something back for him. They're not going to get the left tackle, but I think a second round pick, third round pick, you make that trade.
Ugh, that's so hard to imagine, right, George? Giving up Jadeveon Clowney for not that much. Are they stuck in that position?
Yeah, it just depends, right? Like what's available to them. And it doesn't look like any other team that may have had some interest in him is willing to give up anything because they know he wants out. So they're in a very precarious situation. But here's the thing, the Texans, I don't think they're a mess. Deshaun Watson covers up a lot of their sins, much like Andrew Luck used to cover up the Colts sins. So if you can get him a running back or perhaps someone that they can put a plug in on the offensive line, I think they'll be fine. They'll win the division.
I don't think Watson can play GM though. That's the problem. Woody Page, one last thought.
Well, look, Luck's decision opened up the entire division, as Frank pointed out. So, yes, you don't play for tomorrow when you got a chance today because that division is not that difficult all around anymore.
Yeah, we'll move on. There's your horn. I feel like we've been here before. Jerry Jones, once again, opining publicly about Zeke's holdout. But now Jones is changing his tune a little bit, putting a little positive spin on the star running back's absence and the chance that he might not be back with the team for week one. Here's Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
And keep in mind that, we've got a marathon here. And we want Zeke when we get to the playoffs. We want Zeke when we're in the dog days of this season.
George, I mean, this is clearly a negotiation tactic, but is there also some merit in what he's saying, i.e., is it a turd burger or a turd steak?
No, it's whatever. It's both, actually. He's having two servings in this particular situation. So, I mean, Yummy. He seems to forget that he had Emmitt Smith in a similar situation back in 1993 and then basically had to cave when they realized they were going to start 0-2. Let's look at the record without Ezekiel Elliott last season. 3-3. Dak Prescott basically had one good game in that particular instance. They're a 500 team without Ezekiel Elliott. He's the straw that stirs the drink there. They need to get Zeke in quick.
Paige, what about you?
Well, George, you got to remember that he gets off to a slow start. I remember seeing him in Denver a couple of years ago where he was held to about 30 yards. And so I don't think there's a big problem if he's not there for the first couple of opening games that they have this year. And you brought up Emmitt Smith. They went to the Super Bowl that year after he held out for two games, got what he wanted. So, sure, it's a negotiating ploy by Jones. He wants to win so badly, but he's going to end up caving in as he did before.
Yeah. I mean, he did cave, but then they did win. So it worked out, I guess, on both ends. Izzy, what do you make of this latest comment?
I mean, it's just Jerry Jones playing all the hits when it comes to these negotiations. It wasn't too far removed where he was hitting us with, you don't need a running back to win a championship. And then he dropped with the Zeke coup and then doubled down after that, said, I have earned the right to insult my star running back. To me, it seems like Zeke is just sitting back, taking this all in and wondering, well, as soon as the numbers decide I'm coming back, I'm going to come back. There is no need to. And if Jerry Jones thinks this is going to somehow put a positive spin on this, he's only hurting his own cause there. Zeke's saying, I can sit out the entire season and be fresh for my next team.
He might not be talking to Zeke, though, right, Isola? He might be talking to everybody sitting around waiting to see what happens. If Zeke doesn't come back in time, he can say, like I said, he's very fresh, ready to go.
Yeah, you could say that, but I also think if I'm Jason Garrett, the head coach, I'm listening to this saying, my owner is going around saying that the first four games of the season really don't mean this much, and everyone keeps bringing up Emmitt Smith. Just because Emmitt Smith missed the first two games and they won the Super Bowl, this is a much different team. Like to what George was saying before, Ezekiel Elliott is everything for this team. He's the most important offensive player. You have him out for three or four games, good luck making the playoffs.
Moving right along. Sorry, Woody, we got to go. Carly Lloyd told Fox Sports yesterday she's seriously considering making a go at the NFL. but that she'd need to put the work in first, so she'd be eyeing the 2020 season. She and her trainer also reminded everyone she's still a professional soccer player, wants to see if she's in the national team's plans for the 2020 Olympics. Frank, do Lloyd's latest comments make you more confident that she'll give this thing a shot and that she's preparing for it the right way?
I don't think she is. I think she still wants to play for the national team, and they're going to name a new coach at some point. The Olympics start next July 24th, which is smack dab in the middle of training camp. Remember, you know, you don't just show up on the 24th. That would mean that she'd be with the national team a good month before that. So I think if she's on the national team, it's not going to happen for her. I think it's something that she's keeping out there, maybe down the road, but it's not going to happen next summer. I don't believe it will. She'll be on the national team.
Sedano, how about you?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think she certainly wants to be with her teammates, which is why she didn't take this opportunity in this particular case,
yep.
Which, look, that's the right move, right? She wants to be with her team. She wants to support her team. That's actually her team. This is just a situation where, you know, she'd be kind of attempting an opportunity, a new opportunity at this age. I get all that. But, man, I feel like ultimately she's doing this the right way, Sarah, as you pointed out in your question, which is she wants to take her time. It's different with pads on. It's different with a helmet on. If she's going to do this, she wants to do it right.
Yeah, agreed with that. Woody Page, you think this seems more or less likely that she'll actually give it a shot?
Well, I like that she's willing to take the opportunity, but in reality, it's not going to happen. If she wants to play for the soccer team next year in the Olympics, then where in the world is she going to have an opportunity to play in the NFL? There's so much that needs to be done before she could possibly have that chance. Number one, as George pointed out, you got to put on pads. You got to change your approach to the ball. You can't have a running start like she does. And what happens if the football is blocked? I mean, how's she going to deal with that against a guy that's 300 pounds? Let's be realistic about this, that if she tries to start 2 years from now, she'll be 40 years old. How can you actually take on a football career when you're that age? I think it's a great, great dream to have, but I don't think it's ever going to turn into anything more than just her being impressive when she goes out in street clothes.
Woody Page accusing people of being too old to do anything in their career. That's a shocking one. I will say, though, I agree with you. There's a relevant point there in starting a new career at that age. I will also say that there are plenty of male kickers that also can't really handle a 300-pound guy bearing down on them. I'm a little less worried about that than the actual kicking part of it. Izzy, what do you make of this?
I don't mind her keeping the fire alive. I like the idea of maybe after the last few days, people in her ear, people that she loves and trusts saying, hey, why not give this a try? Like, think about this. A couple of World Cups and the first woman to play in the NFL, you will be one of the most noted women's athletes of all time. Why not give it a shot? And really, what's the difference between 38 and 40? Like, I just went through those. It's not that different. And so if she wants to take her time, give it a chance for 1 year, I say I love it.
Is he appealing to the hosts on that one? Isola, final word?
Woody cracks me up. He knows the name Garo Yupremi. There's a lot of kickers that could not kill after a kick was blocked, tackling somebody. But he is right about the technique. She was taking a five-step drop and then kicking the ball. She's going to have to work on the technique before being really serious about it.
She and her trainer talked about changing that. 1972 reference from Frank there, so I appreciate you keeping up with Woody in terms of old man points today. You both get another one. There's your horn. Here comes your break. These scores. Woo! This is going to be a tight one heading into Dubai. Sell. We'll go with the young guys, the old guys.
It's getting nice as the week goes on.
I don't know about that. Be careful, Frank.
They could be higher.
Set yourself up for disappointment.
Back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Buy or sell. Coco Gauff, the 15-year-old phenom that won us over at Wimbledon, won her U.S. Open debut yesterday, defeating Anastasia Potapova, despite having more unforced errors, fewer winners, and more double faults. George, you all in on Coco?
Sarah, I'm buying it. I'm all in on Coco, the youngest woman to win at the U.S. Open since 2014 at 15 years old, as you pointed out. And she talked about it at her press conference. She talked about all the kids coming up to her, talking about what an inspiration she's been. She's shown all this resiliency. She's been fantastic. I'm all in.
Woody Page, how about you?
George, all in? I'm in, but I'm not all in. In the third round, she's got to face Osaka, and she can't go into a match like that with 42 unforced errors as she had in the opening match and 11 double faults. That's not going to get her past the
numbers
second round.
From Woody, I love it. How about you, Izzy?
I'm all in terms of watching. She's extremely entertaining and has a ton of potential, and I love her talent. But right now, it's hard to be all in. It's like what he said. You can't have that many mistakes and try to beat the top talents in the world. But her coming back constantly after losing the first round, the first set, I mean, that's what tennis fans want to watch, right?
Yeah, the comeback is great. So is you getting Woody some more points. Isola, how about you?
Her ground strokes are terrific. What I like about her, she did the same thing at Wimbledon. She loses the first set, and you're thinking, well, she's 15. She's going to crumble under the pressure. Instead, the other thing happened. She wins the next two sets. She's very resilient. And I'll tell you what, at Wimbledon, when she walked up to Venus at the net after she beat her and told her that, what an inspiration you've been to me, how can you not like Coco? She's got a lot going for her.
It's a great moment. You could say Frank's cuckoo for Coco Gauff. I feel like we should move on.
Coco Gauff.
Go ahead and mute yourself, Sarah.
I can't mute myself. That's the best part of this gig. I feel like we've been here before. During his first round match at the Open yesterday, always aggrieved Aussie Nick Kyrgios yelled at the chair ump, alleging that he failed to keep fans from walking in the aisles during play. That led to his fed-up opponent, Steve Johnson, asking, quote, do you want to play bleepin' tennis or host a bleepin' show? He is all of us. Later in the match, Kyrgios muttered to himself audibly, quote, you could not have picked a more boring sport as a profession. I feel like I've asked this before, but Woody, is Kyrgios good or bad for tennis?
Bad. I'm so past Nick the Geek. I mean, every match, every tournament, he has got to confuse an umpire with an usher. Like it's his job to get out of the chair and go up there and tell people to sit down. I don't know what he thinks he's accomplishing by just continuing to get fined and suspended. And it's time for him to either grow up or get out.
Ooh, all right. How about you, Izzy?
Look, I love tennis. I'm a big fan. Nothing about what he has said or done has ever made me want to watch him. And so all this stuff just reflects poorly on him. And even though Steve Johnson there, and slow clap for him, because he's telling you how the rest of the ATP feels. We don't really like this from you. You make us look bad.
Isola.
Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, they're great players. They have personality, but they're also sportsmen. And you know what? Kyrgios did call the ATP corrupt. They could suspend him, and the next major is in Australia, his home country. That's something I think they should consider.
Ooh, suspensions. Sedano, you're willing to go that far?
No, I'm not, because we all know Frank Isola hates fun. We've established this already over a multitude of appearances here on Around the Horn. But ultimately, it's this. We all love rubbernecking at car accidents, right? That's what Nick Kyrgios is, and that's why people watch him. It's because of the entertainment factor of it.
You're right. He is certainly not boring. I would argue, though, he is occasionally a bore, and that doesn't necessarily make me want to watch him more. Moving on. I feel like we've been here before.
Rhymes.
Kobe and Shaq at it again. Video has surfaced of Kobe at a recent convention in Vegas talking about Shaq's work ethic. Take a listen.
He'd be the greatest of all time.
If Shaq had your work
ethic, he'd be the greatest of all
greatest time. Greatest of all time by
sure. a mile. I wish he was in the gym. I would have had 12 rings.
Shaq responded via Insta comment, you would have had 12 if you passed the ball more, especially in the finals against the Pistons. Hashtag facts. And you don't get statues by not working hard. Then they seem to make up, finding common ground, by making fun of Dwight Howard. So, Izzy, buy or sell the latest back and forth, and whose side are you on?
I'm pretty sure this was the first topic I spoke about on my first Around the Horn appearance in 2008. There are no sides to be had here. This is a really old beef. Kobe knew what he was doing. Shaq gave a boring retort. It is what it is. Dwight Howard gets run over by a bus he didn't even see.
Isola, how about you?
There's enough dysfunction with the current Lakers that you don't need Kobe and Shaq doing this again. But they are right. They would have won more championships, not 12, maybe 6, if they had been on their best behavior.
Sedano?
Yeah, Sarah, these guys are the Spider-Man meme. They're both sensitive, they're both petty, and clearly they're both about the marketing at this point. So this is what we're dealing with. And poor Dwight's like, how did I get involved in this thing?
Well, I think Dwight knows how we got involved in all of this. Woody Page, how about you?
Why don't they go do a buddy movie and get it out of their systems? I mean, they've been dealing with this for so long. But if I remember correctly, Kobe's the one who wanted Shaq out of there. They would have won more championships if he hadn't tried to run him out and go to above him. But Shaq was never going to be in great shape at the sizes he was in. He gave it the best he could.
I'm really glad you said go do a buddy movie instead of any number of things that might have been going through your head at the time. I appreciate it. Izzy, Isola, see you later. Woody, Sedano, on to Showdown.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Showdown. Dodgers catcher Russell Martin made his fourth pitching appearance of the season and his career last night in LA's 9-0 win over the Padres. And excluding two-way players, Martin's the first position player to pitch in a shutout win for his team since 1917. George, time to start taking Russell Martin, pitcher, more seriously?
Sarah, I think so, especially since he's done it the first guy since George High Pockets Kelly. But here's the deal. In a blowout situation in the playoffs, Dave Roberts is unconventional. He's a smart manager. I could see in a situation like that, he'd use him.
George, I really want to spend $50 and go and watch a catcher pitch in the last three innings. Why shouldn't there be a mercy rule? At least next year they're expanding the roster to 28 players. You can hire a guy that comes in for those blowouts.
Not to kill the old man jokes, but Woody was there the last time this happened, so he gets the points. Moving on. I feel like we've been here before, dissecting the villainous nature of Philly fans. This time, though, it's a Phillies player calling him out. On the same night he hit a walk-off dinger, pinch hitter Sean Rodriguez called out the fans as, quote, entitled for booing the home team during slumps. When he came up to bat the next night, he was, yes, of course, booed. Woody, is Rodriguez more hero or heel for this?
He's a heel. He knows where he's playing. He's in Philadelphia. They're famous for booing everybody from Santa Claus to the Easter Bunny. He's not exempt from the booing. He's a heel.
KYP, know your personnel, Sarah Spain, and he clearly doesn't know that. And you know what? He has kind of stunk it up recently.
I guess points for both of you. I don't think either of you really answered my question. Moving on. Christian Yelich, criticized by Twitter user named RoxanneJ77 for appearing nude in ESPN The Mag's body issue, responded with two simple words. Relax, Roxanne. Even made Roxanne by the Police is walk-up music. George, can we add Relax, Roxanne to the pantheon of great millennial rallying cries from RELAX to I'm trying, Jennifer?
No question about it, Sarah, and especially because Roxanne does need to relax. You know what the body issue does? Inspires kids to make sure they feel good about their bodies.
And George, I'm all for the body issue. People can see what I've been seeing for the last 50 years when I walk into a locker room. But I love Roxanne. I think I love the Police song, and I love the fact that it's a rallying cry.
All right, Woody, for taking us inside the locker room, you get the win and the FaceTime.
Yeah. I've been off the air for a couple of weeks, and I haven't been able to talk about the biggest story in the land. I want to address it today. I'm talking about the clucking chicken sandwich wards. I mean, what is it with you people? I mean, what is it with a chicken place that runs out of chicken and can't even sell chicken sandwiches? What is it about you can't even get a good chicken sandwich? Go see your mom. She knows how to make a chicken sandwich. What is it, people? Give up on this chicken war.
Right from the chicken's mouth. That's going to do it.
Woo! Anything but Chick-fil-A.
Nailed it!